It's worth thanking Christine for the work that she's put into all these Sunday's activities. And in fact, if you missed last Sunday and you look in the porch on the left-hand side as you go out, you'll find a burning bush to construct. Again, if you're less than 110 and you like constructing burning bush kits, there's a burning bush kit in the envelope out on the wall there. So do take one home if you'd like to do that. But we've got David and some stones and things to do there. So enjoy those. We're thinking about the series of Transformers. Just to recap a moment and make a couple of comments before we move on to the David topic. The very first person that we looked at that Carol taught us about was young Miriam, which is actually Moses' older sister. So she's possibly about 7 at the time that this incident took place. Do you remember when Moses was a baby and they wanted to kill all the boy babies? And his mum put him in the river, and the princess from the palace found him. And Miriam was brave enough to go up to this lady and say, "Would you like me to find someone to look after him?" You think, hang on, that isn't a very big deal. But if you wonder what would have happened if she hadn't done that, the baby would have been safe because the princess was already taking him back to the palace. But he wouldn't have been brought up with his mother in the Hebrew tradition. He would not have regarded the people in Israel, the slaves in Israel, as his own people. Because as an infant, he would have been brought up as an Egyptian, wouldn't he? So in fact, that small thing that Miriam did made all the difference later. And so I think it's just worth saying again that you're never too young to do something for God. And the job he asks you to do is never too small. You have no idea what will come out of the small thing that you do. Just do the small thing that he's calling you to do and see what he does next. So Miriam, not very old, did a small thing, as we might think it, and God did so much out of that. And then we looked at Moses himself, brought up, as I said, in the palace. I'm afraid, to be fair to him, of course, that the Bible doesn't say a thing about him being a playboy, so I've introduced that idea, but it seems a reasonable idea, and there's lots of alliteration, so I like that. But we also noticed that God took him out into the wilderness for 40 years to learn how to shepherd. And the comment I wanted to make about that before we move on to David was that you may actually be going through a long, maybe even dull or even challenging time, and you may be asking God, well, what is this all about? Why am I going through this? And he may not tell you straight away. I can't imagine that Moses spent the whole 40 years thinking, gosh, I do like looking after sheep. This is my life's ambition. I just love it. I just wonder how many times Moses sought the Lord and said, why am I here? And finally, he got the answer in last week's burning bush kit. So there may be people here who are just wondering what God's up to. And I think that might just encourage us to hang on in there and see what he wants to do. Just wait on God and see what he wants to do. But he will not be wasting what he's doing in you. But then we get to David himself. And we know the story. We've heard it already. There's a picture that represents the whole story of David and Goliath sorted. I'll just take you through, though, a reminder, courtesy of Lego, of how David got to be where he was in front of Goliath. That's actually David's eldest brother. If you remember, Samuel went to David's family home, and God had said, go and anoint me the next king. And so all of David's brothers were lined up in front of him, splendid chaps as they were, and God kept saying to Samuel, this is not the one. And God said to Samuel, don't look at height or I shall read the small print on my thing, or his appearance, for I have rejected him. People look at appearances, but Yahweh looks at the heart. And so God took Samuel through all those brothers and said no to each one. Then you have David being anointed as the next king, even while Saul was still reigning. So that leaves you with a question which we don't really have an answer for. What did David feel like at that moment? Because the scripture tells us that shortly after that, he did go and spend time in Saul's palace. And then it tells us that he alternated, he sort of commuted backwards and forwards between Saul's palace and the family farm, and spent most of his time continuing to look after the sheep. So he was a king in waiting, but King Saul was still reigning. So it could be that God has got a special purpose for each one of us, but actually he's calling us to spend this time waiting, maybe learning, maybe growing, but waiting until God gives the right signal. So a message there perhaps for some of us to hang on in there again. And then we were reminded in the film that we've got the Philistine army turn up, and you've got the Israelite on the other side of the stream turned up, facing each other. Nobody quite wants to start the battle. And then Goliath shows up. He's rather splendid. And we know what happens to Goliath, that David chooses a stone, slings it at him, hits him in the forehead. And in case you think that you wouldn't actually see any gory things in a Lego picture, oh yes you do. Even Lego can do gory. And he's chopped his head off with lots of red blood everywhere. Marvellous. I bet the guy had fun making that little set of pictures. I began to realise as I looked at this story, there's actually rather a lot going on. I just want to raise a few questions that come out of it. What was coming against the people of God? And you get these various things happening in the spiritual realm that we talk about so frequently these days. That was stuff coming out through what people were saying that was having a profound effect on the people hearing it and actually getting to them at the spiritual level. There's Goliath saying, am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? And it's quite obvious that he reckons Philistines are top of the pecking order and you are just servants of this something king. You're rubbish. I'm big. Massive mockery going on here. And it starts to have an effect on them because it opens the door to fear. And so on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So mockery can come in. Fear can follow hot on its footsteps. And then even King Saul, that's King Saul speaking those final words on the screen there, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. No evidence there at all that any of those people, including their anointed king, were about to stand up to them and say, we have God on our side. We are not going to be put down by your godless remarks. I wonder how many of us actually find ourselves in situations like that. It may be at work, it may be with friends, family, whatever. People may know that we're people of faith. But the enemy will use them sometimes to bring mockery against them. Or you may find yourself in a situation where you're facing a very large problem. Nobody here doubts how big Goliath is. Nobody doubts that he's probably the best soldier in the Philistine army. Nobody is saying this is not a problem. David is facing a massive problem. Saul and his army are facing a massive problem. Nobody denies that. The problem that does come in on the back of this, though, is that they completely lose their faith. You'd think God didn't exist from the way that they react. Not so surprising, though. I wonder how many of us have been in those situations where something really big comes up. It may be something from the doctor. It may be a letter in the post and you go, oh my goodness. And at that moment, any thought of God flies out of the window. Goliath's threat was bigger than God's promises. Just because I like peas, human presence and personality outweighed God's promises and power. It's very easy for that to happen. I would imagine most of us at some time or another have got so preoccupied with the very real life around us that God ceases to be real. We're discovering more and more that God wants to be regarded as more real than the stuff that we're facing. We're facing big stuff in our lives, and God is bigger than that stuff. That's what's coming out of this account. So what did David bring to this? Well, for one thing, he knew who he was, so he brought authority to it. "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty," he said. He had no false ideas about how big he was. But he knew whose side he was on, and he knew who was boss. And he was actually scandalized that Goliath would be able to stand in front of this army and totally belittle God. Basically, Goliath is saying, "Your God is rubbish. The God of the Philistines is bigger than your God." That's what's going on here. And David says, "Oh, no, he's not. I'm coming against you in my God's name." And so he brings faith to the situation. And isn't it interesting that David doesn't go somewhere airy-fairy and super spiritual for his source of faith? He actually knows that God has seen him through situations in the past with very real opponents of the bear and the lion. We too can actually go back to situations in our own experience and say, "I have been through something like this before, and God didn't let me down then. Therefore, I believe he's not going to let me down now. If I can take out a bear and a lion, then I can take out a giant." Because God enabled him to do so. This is not doing something in his own strength, but he is looking back at his own life experience and saying, "I know God can be trusted." And this bit fascinates me, which I'll touch on a moment at the end of this. There's a little comment in the end of that conversation that David has with Goliath, where he not only says, "I'm going to beat you," but he says, "The whole world will know there is a God in Israel." Isn't it astonishing that at that very moment of looking at this adversary here, he can actually see bigger than this and say, "This is not just the matter of taking out this giant. This is so the whole world will know that there is a God who reigns." The situations that you and I face offer us the opportunity to witness to a God who is bigger than everyone's situation. He calls us to witness to him. So David's experience of God equipped him for the challenge he faced, and he saw the situation from God's perspective. So as we come towards the end of this, just there's something I want you to think about. This is all about transformers, and the question each time is actually who was transformed. Was it the person that we're looking at who was transformed, or did they transform the situation they were in? And the answer is different for each one. There isn't a single answer for all of these. So in some of these, as we saw with Moses, he was transformed over a period of 40 years, as the video said. The immediate situation that David was in, facing Goliath, was transformed. Is that all that this is talking about? And I think not. I think there's something far bigger than this represented in this story, which could be a real encouragement to us. Not only were individuals transformed, not only was the immediate situation transformed, but the future was transformed. For each one of these people that we've seen, Miriam's courage opened the way for Moses later on. That simple act on that day of the little girl saying, "Would you like us to find someone to nurse this baby?" opened the door to a new future. This is not just for now. Moses' leadership took God's people to a new land. Those 40 years in the wilderness learning how to look after sheep, and then his response at the burning bush, and then the things that he learnt when God brought all those various plagues against Egypt, and Moses' confidence gradually grew and grew and grew until his mind had been transformed or renewed, if you remember me saying that last time, opened the door to a whole new future. The Canaan, the Israel story, wouldn't have happened if he hadn't been doing that. So do you realise that in the things that we face, there's a sort of future possibility just waiting behind the door that we might open? And we know that with God, all things are possible. So what is God calling us to do today that will open the door to his future? Those people had no idea what would happen next. That's in God's plan. All he's asking us to do is to deal with what needs doing now and leave the future to him. But just imagine all those futures that wouldn't have happened if they hadn't played their part at that particular moment. What is God calling us to do today that will open the door to his future? Shall we pray? Lord, open our eyes, we pray. Help us see beyond our immediate situation. Strengthen us with faith that we may trust you for now. Leave the future to you, but do so knowing that you are the God of the future, that you have plans to bless and to prosper. You have plans for this community. You have plans for this church. Father, what are you calling us to do now that will open the door to your future? We ask you to show us that. In Jesus' name. Amen.